word, the first verse of the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Now, you ought to be able to find this one really, really quick. Genesis chapter 1. I've never preached a sermon just on what I'm going to talk about today. I think I've mentioned it in every sermon I've ever preached, but never just this word. That is the word God. Have you ever heard a sermon on the word God? That's what I'm going to preach about today. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. That's enough right there to blow the signs right out the window that said there's no God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There's 10 times down through there it said, God said. We'll look about that in a minute. But I want to preach this morning on the subject, God. How are you going to define God? How can a man, a little nope like me, stand here and proclaim God Almighty? God. I mean, they say that if they're in the world, they have over 500 definitions of the word God, little g. But to us, there is but one God, the creator and maker of the universe. The Bible doesn't argue his existence. The Bible takes for granted there's a God. The Bible takes for granted nobody in the right mind would question whether or not there's a God. The Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So when you start thinking, how do I even know there's a God? If I went out and saw a footprint in the mud and I said, somebody's been here, that's evidence that they've been there. His fingerprints are all over everything. There's evidence that there's a God, clearly seen by, according to the Bible. The word God is over 3,000 times in your Bible. Tradition says that that those Jewish scribes, when they were writing in the Old Testament, they wrote with pen, parchment and quill. You've heard those mentioned in the song where they'd take a quill and dip it in ink and write a little bit, and then they'd dip it in ink, scribe, scribble. That's what they call scribe. They scribble. They wrote the scriptures, and they dip it in that ink, and they said that every time they come to the word God, Jehovah, God of the Old Testament, they would lay that quill down, pick out a brand new one, dip it in ink, and write that name, and then pick up the old one and keep going. That's how holy and revered and high they held his name. To us, God is the creator and ruler of the universe, the source of all morality, the supreme being and authority. Now, the Bible said, and there is one God and one mediator. We're not pluralistic in our belief in God. There is one God. Now, to help me preach this sermon this morning about God and some of his attributes, my associate, where is my assistant? Aunt's going to appear. She's going to help me this morning, and I'm going to get her to help me illustrate. Now, you can preach without, you can teach without preaching, no doubt about it. But you cannot preach without teaching. Real Bible preaching will teach you something. So I'm going to do a little bit of both this morning, and I'm going to talk about God. Now, God has all kinds of attributes. When we say God's attributes, we mean his love. That's the one of the first of his attributes. His first attribute would be holiness. A lot of people put his love above his holiness, but before he's love, he's holy. And so the attributes that I'm going to talk about today, if you could do this in one sermon, mortal man could not stand here and describe the Almighty God in just a few short minutes here. Our little brains can't comprehend it. We can't say this atheist stand out on a hippie was standing on the street one day and said, had a sign said, there is no God. And some old guy walked by and he said, he means that he knows us. He just don't know God. Just cause you don't know God don't mean there ain't one. Just cause you ain't seen him don't mean he's not there either. So I'm going to give you what I consider a strong attributes or thing about God that makes him separate from anything and everything else. Number one, All right, here we go. My associate will help me here, and I want her to hold this up for you, please. Come on out here and hold it up where everybody can see it, Aunt. And she's going to stand and move up here a little bit closer so all them people over there can see, and these two. Now, that word here this morning describes God, and that's my first point. You see that? That's omnipotent. You know what that word means. I've divided it up. Omni. Omni means all. All inclusive, all included, everything, all. Potent is strength. Strength, power, and strength. So it's all power. All power. Has everybody got that? That's your English lesson for this morning. It's all powerful. That can be said about nobody else or nothing else. I didn't say powerful, I said all powerful. All right. Everybody got it? All right. You can put this one down, honey, and she'll be ready for the next one here in just a minute. Let's talk about God being omnipotent. That means he possesses unlimited power. Let me illustrate it like this. If you decide that you're going to go on a boat and on the lake this afternoon, or if you decide you're going to go to Hickory and go to the mall, if you make that plans, could God stop them plans, yes or no? Yes, obviously he can. Now, let me ask you this. If God said he was going to send a 7.0 earthquake to Colorado today, could you stop his plans? No. See, he has all power. Everybody else has a little bit of limited power. I'm telling you this morning, he is omnipotent. Let's see what the scriptures say about it. In Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be. Genesis 1:6, God said. Genesis 1:9, God said. Genesis 1:11, God said. Genesis 1:14, God said. Genesis 1:20, God said. Genesis 1:26, 4, God said. 26, God said. 28, God said. And 29, God said. 10 times, bam, there was the universe, the stars, and everything. I like the way the Bible puts it. He made the earth, he made the, and it says sort of like, P.S., he made the stars also. Like, no big deal, all in a day's work. Up to, and that's funny how insignificant the Holy Spirit put that in there. Made the stars also. No big deal for him. Now, I know there's always some smart person that comes up with foolish questions. Every once in a while you run into some person that thinks they're smart and they've been to college 1-2 years, think they know more than God and everybody else. And a guy comes up and he said, well, where did God come from? Now, if you ask a question that foolish and immature, you deserve a foolish answer. Because by very definition, God can't come from something. The definition of God is all everything. He couldn't come from nowhere. There wasn't nowhere for him. He didn't need to come. He always has been. He had no beginning. He'll have no ending. He's always in the present. He wasn't, was, and will be. He always is. Now, I know if you go, if you've been to school a lot, you can't understand that, but we'll pray for you that the Lord will help your intellect to give you what we call common sense. And common sense ain't too common anymore when it comes to definition of God. You always meet somebody that said, where'd God come? He didn't come from nowhere. He never had a beginning. If he come from something, that would be God and not him. And then you always have somebody come on, they'll come on the internet, and they'll write, said, can God make a rock so big he can't move it? And they say, pow! Trapped, you didn't. And the answer to that is, sure, if he wants to. That's a dumb question, you get a dumb answer. Amen? Listen, one scientist said this. They say, it's what they throw out in school to make you doubt God. What happens when an immovable object meets irresistible force meets an immovable object? Answer that question. What happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? If you're so smart. And the answer is, the immovable object is shattered without moving and the irresistible force is deflected without stopping. You ask a dumb question, you get a dumb answer. He has power. God has all power. He's omnipotent. He has power over wind. He has power over water. He tells it to rain, it rains. He tells it to stop, it stops. He stood up on a boat when he was here in the form of Jesus and told the wind to stop blowing, and the wind stopped blowing. He has power over gravity.
and could suspend those laws of nature anytime he chooses. He has the law, power over the laws of physics, and the law, he can transcend or suspend these laws. He told the sun to stand still. And I know there's always, again, people say, oh, don't you silly Christians know the sun don't rise and set? Yes, we very much do know that. But wouldn't it sound sort of dumb if we said the world stopped spinning and made the sun look, you know, what time will the world spin around where we can see the sun tomorrow morning? Nobody talks that dumb. In the newspaper it says sunrise, 7:30, sunset. You don't say, what time will the world spin around where we can't see the sun tomorrow evening? Nobody talks like that. The Bible talks in plain English so you can understand it. And so when we're spinning, you don't really know all that stuff anyway. When everything's moving, it looks like the sun comes up, sun goes down. God can make it stand still. He can start sending an earthquake that can shake the world. One of those guys said when a hydrogen bomb went off that it was capable of shaking the earth off its axis. That ain't, listen, a hydrogen bomb going off on this earth, like you light a firecracker in here. It ain't gonna move this world, but God can. God can shake it. Isaiah 44 and verse 24, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens. In John 10 and verse 17 and 18, Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it up again. That's all power. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20, it said he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. Now, come on, y'all. Think about that. The biggest thing you can think of. I can think pretty big, can't you? I can think of some pretty wild stuff. He's able to do way above stuff that me and you can't even think of or imagine. Amen, Deacon, right there. Say amen. Amen. That's awful twilight. Listen, darkness and a light are both alike to thee. So 139 and verse number 12. You know, years ago in this country, there's some Indians went up on this man who had come in to be a missionary among them. And they took hatchets to kill him that night. And they walked up there and went, looked to his teepee. And they looked inside this man's little teepee, and there was a man on his knees praying. And those Indians had come there to take his life. And they, before they went in, they saw a rattlesnake crawl across his foot and come over here to the side of that tent and went back in a striking position. And they stood there in horror as the man was on his knees, and all of a sudden that snake just turned and slithered out of that tent. That man was named David Brainerd. He is one of the greatest missionaries that America has ever produced. Preached of New England to the Indians. Couldn't even speak their language many times and pray. One of the greatest men that ever lived is the missionary David Brainerd. And you know what they did? They changed their minds like they did Paul and said he's a messenger of God. You say, well, what caused that thing to do that? The same God that made that, when Paul got bit by that snake, let him shake it off in the fire and feel no harm. You say, you mean to tell me God told a snake? Yes, sir. He told a rooster to crow. He told a donkey to speak. He told a whale, slow right over there, 90 degrees north, 14 degrees up, and swallow that backslid preacher swimming over here. He told him to do it, and he did it. He has all power. You hear me this morning? All power. He is omnipotent, people. There's nothing too big for him. There's nothing too hard for him. He's God, and he has all power. All right, number two. Get that for me, Miss Ants. And she's going to get you the second one this morning. And I want to give you this second attribute this morning. And hold that up real big so everybody can see it. And that is omniscient. That word is omniscient. Now here we go again. You see that word omni, all. Now, what does that word look like right there? Does that look like science? That science means knowledge. All knowledge. Science, knowledge. All knowledge. Some people say we're against science. I'm not against science. Science is knowledge. We are against false science and science falsely. So, as long as it don't contradict you, I think it's great, and I like to study it. But anywhere it's against the Bible, it's not science. It's foolishness. So God not only can do anything, he knows everything. All knowing, all knowledge. Thank you, Ms. Hans.
And I'm going to tell you about this a little bit. He knows all. He sees all. In Isaiah 46 verse 9 and 10, he said, remember the former things. I am God and there's none else. Declaring the end from the beginning. Nobody else can do that. God declares, he's at the beginning and he declares how it's going to be at the end. That means he not only knows everything now, he knows what's going to be tomorrow and the next day. Somebody wrote that song, Fear Not Tomorrow, for God is already there. Listen, people, I'm talking about your Father. I'm talking about the one that's got you in his hand. How much joy and peace that ought to bring us as children of God in this crazy mixed up world that you and I live in. In a world that's on the brink of war. In a world that seems to be financially and politically going crazy. I'm glad my Father, I have a Father who can. I'm glad I have a Father who knows. Amen. Having neither beginning or ending. He is infinite. Infinite. You know what that means? That means without limits, without boundaries. He fills everything. That's right, brother. He has neither beginning. He knows every. The Bible said it like this. He knows every sparrow that falls. Now think about that. I don't know how many sparrows there are in the world, but there's many in Hoppy Tom Holler. And God, you know what God does? Right now in heaven, you say, do you take that literally? Absolutely, no, I have no reason not to. If he has all knowledge, he looks right over there in Sioux, South Dakota, a sparrow just died. Bang, hit the ground. And then at the same time, four sparrows in Georgia died today. Bam, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then at the same time, one in South America, if they have sparrows, I'm assuming they do. And there's one, he knows the sparrows that fall. Let me tell you something else he said. You know what he said over there in the book of Matthew? He told his disciples one time, he said, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I mean, listen, that's getting down there, ain't it? That's getting down when God knows the hairs on your head. Now, for some of you, it wouldn't be too hard to count them up. But for most people, they say the average person has like 110,000 hairs, if they got a full head of hair, on their head. There's 7 billion people in this world. That is a lot of hair. Lord have mercy. Them three girls, my three girls sitting over there, all blonde headed all their life, and every time they'd blow their hair dry, they'd lose 200 or 300. I mean, they kept some angel up there busy keeping track of them. As the Lord said, well, they had 110,000. She just lost 10. I bought carpet, same color as their hair, so you couldn't see it. And it just, it may last longer. But I'm just kidding. But I tell you what, brother, they had it and they put it down. God knows every one of them. Somebody had a bumper sticker they seen one time. This guy said, God knows all the hairs on your head. And in parentheses, it said, and your wig too. That's pretty good, ain't it? God knows everything. He's all knowing. Let me give you what the scripture said. Psalm 147 verse 5. Great is the Lord. His understanding is infinite. 1 John 3 and verse 20. God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Psalm 147 verse 4, he counts the number of the stars and calleth them by name. He names every single star. Them that scientists can't even find. He named them all. And Hebrews 4 and verse number 13, there is no creature that is hidden from his sight, for all things are naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. Acts chapter 1 and verse 24, he said, O Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men. That means if he knows the hair on your head, he knows the thoughts of your heart also. Psalm 44 and verse 21 said, the secrets of the heart are made manifest to him. Jeremiah 23 and verse 24 said, can any hide himself from the from thy presence? He said, can you get somewhere where God can't see you? Absolutely not. He said, this boy came in school one time and he hadn't studied, done his homework or nothing. And they had a test that day and he didn't answer another question because he hadn't studied. And he turned his paper in and it said, only God knows the answer to these questions. And the teacher graded them and gave them back, and his grade come back and it said, God gets 100, you get 0. And you know what? I thought about that. I thought about that and I said, that's the way it is in everything. He gets 100, we get 0. Ain't that right?
Thank God he gets 100 and I get a 0. I'm perfectly satisfied with that. Let me tell you something, people. It's like this. As long as we know he's got everything under control, me and you don't have to worry about it. We worry ourselves into a frazzle, Mom used to say. We worry ourselves about stuff we can't do nothing about. What about this? What if that? What if that? What if that? I tell you what you can do. You can say, my Father owns it all, sees it all, knows it all, and I'm putting my life, hallelujah, in his hand. I'm thankful and resting in that this morning. That's a comfort, folks. That's a blessing, y'all. It's like these little kids one time, they was out running around, their car's all packed up, and somebody come up and said, where y'all going? And they said, we're going on vacation. We're going on vacation. And they said, the man said, where are you going? They said, we don't know. And they said, what time are you leaving? They said, we don't know. And they said, well, what road you taking? We don't know. Well, how do you even know where you're going? They said, Daddy knows. Daddy's driving, and he knows where we're going, and he knows how to get there. And, you know, boy, I thought that's the way we ought to be this morning. There's a lot I don't know. There's a lot I don't understand. There's a lot I can't figure out. I'm telling you, my Father knows it all. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah, people. My Father owns a cattle on a thousand hills, and he knows it all. I talked to a lady yesterday, and I gave her a tract, and I was going to try to witness to her, and she hit me back, boy. I really wasn't prepared for it. She seemed like a nice lady. I said, ma'am, here you go. Read this. This will tell you about Jesus over at the flea market. And she said, I'm sort of upset with the Creator right now. I said, why? I thought, you realize you're just a little teeny weeny speck you couldn't even see North Carolina from out of state, outer space. Can't hardly from out of state. And she said, I'm obsessed. Why has he made all this bad stuff down here? I said, whoa, you better be mad at the devil. He's the one that done this. Don't blame God. She said, but I know that he made it all. He's above everything. And she kept saying the second in command. She said, I have my own master. And I thought, ooh. I sort of, yeah. I said, throw some holy water on her or something. She said, I have my own master. And I said, oh my goodness. I said, wait a minute. She said, well, why does, if God's so great, why didn't, I said, ma'am, don't be mad at God. God is good. God is good all the time. All the time. What? God is good, y'all. That's what they say in the prison. When I preach to the prison, they say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And I told her, I said, ma'am, be mad at the devil. And she said, well, he's the one that started all that. I said, no, wait a minute. God give us a choice. It's his gift to us. So we choose the wrong stuff. Can't blame him. And she said, well, why is this and why is that? And I said, ma'am, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot I don't know. There's a lot I don't understand. I don't know everything, but I do know one thing. I said, God don't make mistakes. He's incapable of making a mistake. If he could do wrong, he wouldn't be God. He's whatever he's done right. I said, just cause me and you don't understand something does not mean God Almighty has made a mistake or done something wrong. I'm telling you something, people here this morning, I'll guarantee you, brother, God Almighty has done right. He is doing right. He always will do right. He's done the right thing. He's doing the right thing. He'll always do the right thing. And he's never wrong about anything. He's all knowledge. He's omniscient. Thirdly, get the third one, Ants. And you, some of you who study the Bible and study stuff know what this one is. And this one, of course, is. This is another word you hear about God. And the third word is God is omnipresent. Omnipresent. Now, you can figure that out. Omni, all, present, here, all, present. You want me to interpret that? You can't go nowhere where he's not. He's everywhere. He fills heaven and earth. You can't, somebody said, well, what did God do all that time before he made the world? See how ignorant people are. It's amazing. Hey, buddy, there wasn't no time before God made the world. He created time at the beginning. He was eternity in existence. Same thing he's going to do after it's gone. See,
with our limited little understanding, and we try to funnel God through our little 12 years of school or 4 years of college. It don't work that way. He's infinite and he's omnipresent. That means he not only can do anything, he not only knows everything, but he's everywhere at the same time. Amen. Bible said in Psalm 11:4, his throne is in the heavens and his eyelids try the children of men. He's spirit. He's spirit. God is a particular spirit. If you got your King James Bible, if you got those new versions, it ruins that verse and says God is spirit. Your arm's getting tired? About 10 more minutes. I'm just kidding. You can go sit down. God is omnipresent. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. You can never go nowhere he ain't. Jeremiah 23:23 said, I got at hand. Am not I God, not a God afar off? Do I not feel heaven and earth? He said one time, this skeptic said to a little boy at school, he said, well, where is God? And the little boy said, I'll answer you the question. Where is he not? He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Psalm 139 verse 7, whither shall I go from thy presence? Whither shall I flee from you? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Colossians 1 and verse 17, by him are all things consist. And that's protons, neutrons, electrons. All of the universe is held together. You know, they can't even figure out what holds the world together. How come everything don't just explode? The Bible said by him, all things consist. He's holding it together. What holds the world? If you were to look at the world out in outer space, it's like this. What's holding it up? How come it don't fall? Because you say, well, that's gravity. Well, where'd that come from? You mean the sun has just exactly enough gravity to hold it in that one spot? And the moon, everything's pulling on it the other directions, and it's just enough. If you go a little bit further, we'd freeze death. If it's a little bit closer, we'd burn up. And that's all an accident, and God had nothing to do with that. Let me tell you, buddy, you're overdrawing your bank account. Ain't nothing that unlikely. That's impossible. That could not and did not happen. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, he said this, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That means if we got the Lord's here today, that means they're having church in South America, he's there. If two or three are gathered together this morning in England, he's there. If two or three are gathered this morning in New York, he's there. If two or three are gathered together in San... I don't know if he's there. He is. If two or three are gathered together in Florida, he's there. If two or three are gathered together in the North Pole, he's there. You can't get away from him. Amen. That little boy said, how big is God, Daddy? And his daddy said, he's always just a little bigger than your need. Hallelujah. What a definition. Amen. Listen, people, he was God before he made the world, and he'll be God when this old world's on fire. You hear me? He was God when them towers fell up in New York City on 9/11. Did not take him by surprise. He was God when your heart was broke and you were sitting at home crying and didn't know what you was going to do. He was God when your bills were coming due and you didn't know where the money was coming from. Are you listening to me this morning? He was God when you was at the funeral home and looked at the face of a loved one that you'd never see again on this earth. He was there. He was God when those divorce papers come in the mail and you bowed your head and started crying. He was God when your husband went on home to be with him. He was God when you lost your wife. He was God when you found out you had cancer. He was God, brother, when your heart was breaking. I'm telling you, he was God when Jesus was dying on the cross. He was God in heaven. I'm telling you, when the destruction of Jerusalem came, he was God when the martyrs were burning at the stake. He was God when I was crying myself to sleep at night, not knowing what I was going to do. He was God, and he'll still be God. Thank God when it's all over with. Hallelujah, he's God. You know, this is a song you might know if you've ever been to some of them old-time holiness church. It said, he's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the lightning thunder roar. He's God in the amen corner. He's God all over the floor. Amen. I know God is God, and he always will be God. That's sound doctrine. Amen. He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder roars. He's God in the amen corner. He's God all over this floor. I know God is God. And he always will be God.
Lord have mercy. How can a little pity bitty bitty boy like me tell how great God is? It's impossible. He's indescribable. He was God when John's head dropped off in that bucket bleeding. He was God when they took the Apostle Paul out there and cut his head off. He was God when you thought your whole world caved in on you and you didn't know where you was going to turn to. I'm telling you something else. And when all the leaders of this world are dethroned and the devil's in the lake of fire and the Antichrist with him and all the rock singers and rap singers have got their due reward, he'll still be God sitting on his throne a million years from now. He has been. He is. And thank God he always will be God. He's God. I'm going to stop right there this morning before I get excited. How could you talk about something like this? And when somebody wrote and said, why do you have to scream? Are you kidding? I wish I could scream louder. If you can talk about something this excited and not get excited about it, you don't believe it. You don't believe it. Go talk to the Golden State Warriors about being a fanatic. Or LeBron. Or one of them. They said this man one time. Come on, Miss Desi. Y'all come on, Brother Jason. Said this man one time. It was a Christian man. He's at a man's house. And he looked around and seen stuff. We'll dismiss in a minute, y'all. And he seen stuff sitting around. And he looked on the mantle and he saw an oyster shell with a piece of paper sticking out of it. He said, what's that? He said, that's how I got saved. He said, huh? He picked it up and showed it to him. He said, you know what? My mom used to tell me about God. And my preacher told me about God. And my Sunday school teacher told me about God. And they always tried to tell me about God. And she's playing softly. And she said this. He said, I said, oh, there ain't no God, ain't no God. But I felt like maybe there would be. And he said, I was scuba diving. I was scuba diving in the ocean. And I swam way down at the bottom. And I looked. And there was an oyster shell and a piece of paper stuck in it. Yes. And I pulled it out and looked at it. It says, track. It said, God loves you. And he said, man, if he can chase me all the way down here at the bottom of the ocean and knows where I am, he must be real. And he got saved because of that track. He knew God was everywhere. By the way, he knows where you were last night too. And this morning. And tomorrow before you get there. He knows everything about you. You can't beat him. Just well join him. I don't know what your need is here this morning. I don't know what you're going through. But Lord, put this message on my heart today that God is still God. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. We're going to pray. I feel like there's people in here this morning just say, Brother Danny, I needed that so much. And I'm going to come down there to that altar this morning and I'm going to just say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I can't straighten this mess out. I don't even know the right decisions that I should make. Lord, I'm giving it to you. We're going to pray and you come. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, take this message. Use it for your glory. Have your way in our lives and heart. Speak to somebody's heart this morning that desperately needs to get their heart right with you. Save that one which may be here this morning needs to get saved. Help husbands and wives and mamas and daddies. And we'll thank you and praise you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. You come and let's pray this morning. Come on, let's pray this morning.
Softly, amen. Some of you men come pray for Jesus. Amen. Is calling.
He's God. And he wants you to give him your life this morning. Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now. Come on. Come on. Move right now. Move right now. Amen. Amen.
He's waiting and watching. Watching
for you. Come on. He's God this morning. Let's honor him as God. Come on, sir. Come on. Come on home this morning. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Ye who are weary.
Come on home this morning. Amen. Earnestly. Tenderly.
Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. He wants to help you this morning.
Calling, oh, sinner, come.
Let's sing one more verse, Brother Jason. Hey, hey, he's God. He's God. He wants to help you this morning, ma'am. You going through a problem? Got a need? Come on this morning. Let's put it all on the altar. Come on right now. Put it all on the altar. That's right. That's right. Come on. Amen.
Why should we linger and heed not His mercy?
Mercy for you. And for me. I'm glad there's mercy for you and me. Come on home. Come on home and have that mercy this morning. You need help? Say, I don't know what I'm going to do, preacher. Well, just put your life in His hand. That's the first step. That's the first step right there. Put it in His hand. Amen. Amen.
Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home.
I'm going to leave you with these two thoughts this morning. The most important and greatest thing in this world is to be saved and know it. The second greatest thing in this world is to be in the will of God and know it. You're going to get old before you realize it. You are. And you're going to look back and say, man, what have I done with my life? Do it now. Do it now while you're young. You do what you believe God wants you to do. If you say, well, I'm just going to do what I want to, right? You'll regret it. You'll regret it. The best thing you can do with your life is say, Lord, whatever you want with my life, that's what I want to do. You say, Brother Daniel, I have no idea if I'm in God's will or not. Well, pray, seek Him, ask Him to show you. Say, show me if I ain't. He'll help you. Get it in this book. And that's the way you know you're in the will of God. If you're out of there, you ain't in His will. All right? Amen. Thank you.